Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is entitled The Man Who Hated God, and was adapted from the story by Winifred Holtby from the volume Truth Is Not Sober, published by the Macmillan Company, New York.
Once upon a time, there was a man who hated God. This man was quite impartial in his hatred. He hated the God worshipped by Muslims, Christians, and Jews. Even as there is one God, this man had one hatred. Moreover, he hated the prophets, the judges, the priests, the ministers, and the rabbis. He was a thorough man, and his name was Ichabod. A hatred so great as this requires an explanation. There are causes. And it must therefore be said that Ichabod had conceived his hatred out of the abundance of misery upon the face of the earth. He saw men in the fields, no better than beasts of burden. He saw the miners in their bottomless pits laboring for a pittance. He saw the workmen in their factories pale against the clamor of the machines. And he heard the screams of women dying in childbirth.
Did God create all this evil? I refuse to believe it.
Thus spake Ichabod. He came home and ate his dinner, and he considered what he had seen. Then he pushed away the empty bowl in front of him and said to his wife,
No God created all this evil.
I beg your pardon?
And I'll tell you why. Because there is no God. And if there is no God, why worship him?
Oh, don't be foolish. Everyone knows there's a God.
I tell you, there is no God. If there were, I would hate him.
What did you say?
Something else occurs to me.
More stewed fruit?
No. The idea of God is responsible for the great evils which men endure upon the face of the earth.
Why do you bother me with such things? Isn't it enough that I have to cook and clean and mend and market and see to the children without having to listen to such philosophizing? You ate too fast. It must be lying there on your stomach. Go out and take a walk. You'll feel better.
He followed her suggestion, not because there was anything on his stomach. The disturbance was in his mind. He walked a little way.
Old clothes. I buy old clothes. I sell old clothes. Old clothes. I buy old clothes.
The man who called out in the darkness was a beggar. Ichabod stood and listened until the beggar grew self-conscious.
You're spoiling my trade.
You have no trade. You have no money to buy old clothes, and you have no old clothes to sell.
That's true. I depend on people to notice and drop a few coins into my hat. If you're not going to give me any coins, the very least you can do is to go away.
Why do you do it?
It's a good enough occupation until I go to my reward.
And what will that be?
Paradise. Beggars like me will inherit the world to come.
You poor fool. There is no world to come. When men like you believe in the existence of another world, they make no effort to improve their life in this one. I'm telling you all this for your own good.
Who asked you to?
You are living a lie.
It's my lie, if it is a lie. Now you go away from me, you thief. You go away, or I'll call a policeman.
Ichabod was a tender-hearted man, but now his lips became a thin, hard line. He didn't wait for the policeman to come to him. He ran and found the policeman.
Maybe you have a grain of sense in your head. Listen, I'll ask it slowly. Is there a God?
Of course.
And what did God create?
Everything. The heaven, the earth, the sun, the stars, the moon.
And policemen?
Naturally.
And those whom the policemen hunt?
I suppose.
What do you mean, you suppose? Does God create the criminal, the murderer, the leper, the idiot?
Look, I'm only a policeman. Let's go to the precinct house and ask the sergeant.
No. I have my answer. There is no God. The idea of God is the greatest evil on the face of the earth. I'm going to put a stop to it.
He meant it. From that moment, he devoted his life to his hatred for God. He stood on a bench in the public square.
Fools! Whom do you worship? Are your brains in your feet? Look around you. This fine earthly paradise of ours, where the rich grow richer, where the mighty and powerful become more mighty and more powerful. God is their club over you. Religion keeps you contented, while you are violated and besmirched and defrauded. Fools, do you want to see God? Look in the cemeteries. Count the dead. Look in the morgues. Go into the battlefields. Am I lying to you?
No. Maybe you're not.
In the city where I come from, I saw little children running naked through the streets, begging a crust of bread.
Why look elsewhere? Look in our own city.
There's something in what he says. This man talks sense. He isn't afraid. I believe him.
I believe him too.
The success of Ichabod. Success made him bolder. Now he had desperate men to follow him. He led them into a place of worship where a few devout people were singing a hymn in praise of God.
Protect us, Lord, watch over us, and keep us from all fear. And let us praise thy righteous name, and hold thy presence near.
Sir, do you come to attend our service? If you do, you and your friends are welcome.
I come to destroy your service.
You are presumptuous men.
That may be. Get out of our way.
This is a place of worship. If you do not like our service, you are not compelled to attend.
We have come to destroy what is infamous.
You speak arrogantly. I ask you to leave this house of worship.
Take care of him.
Blasphemers, idolaters of your own power, keep your hands away.
What about our hands?
Keep your hands away from the holiness of this place. Do not desecrate.
Tear down the altar.
No, this is the altar to God.
There is no God.
In the name of human life, in the name of everything you hold sacred.
Nothing is sacred. Tear the altar cloth off.
We are all children of one Father. I beg you.
All right, be quick now. Overturn the altar.
For the next 10 days, Ichabod went up and down the city like a giant, and the ranks of those who followed him were swollen like a torrent, for he destroyed. And destruction possesses a large fascination for many men.
Light your torches! Light your torches!
Torches ready!
Help! What are we waiting for?
They burned down the houses of worship. By the light of the conflagration, Ichabod read the first edict of the new state.
This is our enlightenment.
Hooray!
The temples are destroyed.
Hooray!
We have destroyed our illusions. Let us march forward now to liberty, to a better world. Let us march and sing of progress and reason, of electricity and penicillin, of sociologists and isotopes, of the new society, of a world without disease, without blindness, without superstition, without ignorance, without misery and poverty. Let us march!
Within 5 days, there was not a single house of worship left standing. The people waited. In their credulous way, they waited for a miracle. but no miracle occurred. The poor remained poor. The ignorant remained ignorant. Disease took its toll, and misery still abounded.
We must not lose heart. The new society is not made in a day. The houses of worship are down. But we have overlooked something. The ministers, the priests, and the rabbis are still alive.
Ichabod, you don't want us to kill.
Shut up.
But he doesn't want us to kill. I'm sure he doesn't.
Why not? If you want to make an omelet, you've got to break eggs.
Well said. I nominate you my first deputy.
Thank you, Ichabod. All right, people. If you want to defeat God, it isn't enough to burn down the places of worship. We've got to tend to the ministers. Follow me.
A silence fell on the city. No more were voices heard singing psalms. Once again, the people waited. And they waited in vain.
Ichabod, there is still poverty in the city.
The ignorant are still ignorant.
The sick remain sick.
Maybe there is a God and he is punishing us.
Seize that man.
I was only saying what everyone had on.
Seize him and silence him.
But I was...
You see, my comrades, the infection goes deep. Even in our own ranks.
Carry the renegade away. Don't be clumsy with him.
Forgive them, Ichabod. They are not too efficient yet. You were saying something.
Yes. I was saying that we have abandoned the vicious idea of a Father in heaven. The churches are down. The ministers, the priests, and the rabbis are dead. But in our universities, our professors still talk about an absolute. The physiologists suggest an all-embracing element. The psychologists talk about an ineradicable impulse toward God creation. Down with false idealism!
Down with false idealism!
Down with philosophers!
Down with philosophers!
Down with Kant, Spinoza, and Tagore! Down with Einstein!
Down with Einstein!
Burn their books!
It was a spectacular conflagration. They burned Herbert Spencer and Schopenhauer and Hegel and Maimonides. They burned carloads of Bibles and hymn books. They burned innumerable volumes containing any single word indicative of faith. Among them were such works as...
Bertrand Russell's A Free Man's Worship.
Oh, don't stand there. Throw it in.
Thousands stood watching the burning of the books, and from the rear of a mighty assembly, a voice was heard.
Throw the professors in tow! Ha ha ha!
This was done. Nevertheless, poverty continued everywhere. Disease was rampant, misery was acute, and while the old, powerful exploiters were now either dead or in prison, Ichabod and his deputy and the new men of power redoubled their efforts to stamp out the last vestiges of the idea of God. Ichabod took a drastic step.
First deputy. A professor of biophysics. I will speak to him now.
You, professor. Come here. Ichabod will now speak to you. Quickly, quickly.
Why do you take me for my work? I have no interest in sociology or religion. My work is important.
We shall determine that. Professor, what is your work?
I cannot discuss it here. The experiment is secret.
These men have my highest confidence. Professor, what is the nature of these secret experiments?
You must know.
We must.
We are probing the nature of matter. My colleagues and I may be on the verge of deciphering the riddle of the universe.
Is it conceivable that your results might suggest the existence of God?
I couldn't say. No man can predict the results of scientific experiment.
Thank you. Throw him into prison.
Ichabod, what crime have I committed?
The good society does not wait for the crime to be committed. It prevents crime. Henceforth, all scientific experiments whose results might prove the existence of God are prohibited.
What will you accomplish? The people will still remain miserable and hungry, even more than before.
We shall attack the problem energetically. Professor, the future belongs to us.
We must spread our theories. After all, we cannot fight the idea of God merely in one city or one country.
Naturally. God exists everywhere.
Deputy, seize that man. He's a religious spy. It proves how eternally vigilant you must be.
And so now the word became...
Eternal vigilance. The enemy is everywhere.
It was not an exaggeration. They surrounded Ichabod with a small army of guards. This was something of a mistake. For one of the guards was a man of warped personality.
Ichabod is shot.
Seize the assassin. Seize him. There he is. Don't let him get away. Shoot him. Shoot him. Come on.
Ichabod. Ichabod, speak to me. Ichabod.
Is he alive?
Yes, he is.
Oh, thank God.
What did you say?
Place this man under arrest.
Ichabod's condition was very grave. For days, huge throngs crowded the great square of the city in a ceaseless vigil. Here and there, a poor peasant forgot himself momentarily and whispered a psalm. However, the police had received orders to do their work unobtrusively, and sudden disappearances were barely noticed, except by members of the immediate family. On the 10th day after the attempt at assassination, Ichabod's first deputy mounted the steps of the Capitol.
Citizens! We thank you for this demonstration of solidarity with our beloved leader, Ichabod. I am happy to inform you that Ichabod has passed his crisis. He will live! As a token of our joy, the directorate announces with pride the formation of a league for the increase of tempo. This means that for every one of us, a goal of production has been set. A goal 120% higher than before. Your watchword and your slogan and your entire creed must be tempo.
Tempo, 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 tempo.
Now the machines clanked with a vengeance. The train engines tooted their whistles longer and louder, thereby reducing the amount of steam available for hauling freight.
Never mind, it's worth it. Think of the impression of progress it makes on the people.
There was no doubt. The tempo had increased. And the man who hated God felt his pulses quicken and his heart beat faster as he made a lightning tour of mill, mine, factory, workshop, and farm.
Comrade. What's the percentage of increased production?
50%.
You've got to do better.
We will do better, beloved leader.
Someone give this citizen a medal. Let's go, driver.
Ichabod spent day and night this way. He barely slept. He ate little. His deputies frowned as they saw him grow thinner.
Ichabod, you must learn to rest.
Seize that man. The whole idea of rest is a cunning reminder that God created the world in 6 days. And rested on the seventh. We reject and scorn the notion of a Sabbath. We do not have to rest.
Having thus renounced God in still an additional way, Ichabod redoubled his efforts. Within a short time, his mental fatigue and his physical exhaustion combined with the effects of his wounds to bring on a severe illness.
Order everyone to be silent. No noise. Ichabod has become unconscious.
After a period of unconsciousness, Ichabod awoke to find himself seated in a boat upon a calm, twilight sea, together with a small company of people.
Wonderful. This must be the idea of my first deputy.
Were you addressing me, sir?
No. Just talking to myself. Just occurred to me. This must be one of the cruises arranged for worn-out citizens in convalescence. By our admirable Ministry of Health.
You are mistaken.
Am I? Do I know you?
No.
Well, your accent, I would surmise you come from the West.
I do.
Excellent. You must be one of our English-speaking friends organizing part of the new society. My name is Ichabod.
And mine is Adams. I spell it apostrophe S. I believe it means of the earth.
Well, that's unimportant. Our enemies are strong and we have little time.
We have all eternity. You laugh.
There's no such thing as eternity. I must beg you to resist this insidious mysticism. We die soon and then we rot. That's the end.
Ichabod, we are in eternity.
What's that? Say that again.
We have suffered the death of the body.
That's impossible. When men die, they cease to exist. You and I exist. We're in a boat.
In the same boat.
That's impossible. I haven't finished my work.
Of course, no man is ever able to finish his work. All that is given to any man is an opportunity to begin the work. But the task is never completed. That remains for all the later generations of men. And in God's own good time, and in God's way.
Talk plainly, I don't understand you. Adams, what do you mean?
I mean that you're an idolater. You have displaced the image of God and substituted the image of Ichabod. And when the idea of God is removed, the half-gods rise and enter. The half-gods like you.
I don't believe you. You're lying. You're a renegade and a liar.
It is not necessary to raise your voice. Look down.
Where?
Through the water, Ichabod. Look.
The man who hated God looked down over the side of the boat into the dark, tranquil sea. Far, far below him, through the slow-moving water, he could discern the land with farms and rivers and vast rolling plains.
That's my country. Look. There below.
Yes, Ichabod, it's your country.
Deep below the tranquil waters of the blue sea, Ichabod saw laborers still bent beneath their burdens in the fields. In the factories, the machines still clanged and clattered. The miners still coughed in the mines. The workers still trudged to the mills. The women still died in childbirth. And children ran in herds like wolves begging bread.
They're still enslaved in wretchedness.
They are, Ichabod.
That means they still retain some illusion about God.
Look again. Better still, listen.
I can't make out the words. But the wretches are marching down the road and carrying huge pictures of some god. The wretches, they betrayed me. They built a holy temple.
They have.
It was true. The peasants and the workers stood outside a massive temple built with dignified solidity. And a man preached to them, his face alight with the fire of fanaticism, so that as they listened, the people forgot their weariness in their vision of a great new faith.
I have failed in my life's work. They have forgotten me.
Look again, Ichabod.
And the man who hated God bent low over the rail of the boat and cried out angrily,
Who is this God? What is this monster that deceives them?
And then the words of the hymn became audible.
Oh, down with the says Ichabod, and tear down every altar, and let us praise enlightenment. Good comrades never falter.
Do you understand now the name engraved upon the temple and emblazoned upon the banners and hymned by the devout belonged to the half-god and the image whom they all worship.
And the name and the face and the doctrine and the image that they worshipped were the name and the face and the doctrine and the image of the man who hated God.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Marvin Wiener, Registrar of the Rabbinical School and Director of the Cantor's Institute and Seminary College of Music of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Rabbi Wiener.
The program you have just heard describes one extreme reaction to life's problems and challenges. The life and aspiration of Ichabod symbolize a misreading of human nature and experience and a resultant loss of faith which serves to tear down that which is noble and uplifting. And what is perhaps even more tragic, this philosophy of negation and despair becomes a religion in itself. Significantly enough, the Hebrew name Ichabod means there is no glory. It epitomizes the forces of brutishness, which see only the negative aspects of reality and deny life's grandeur and goodness. The fundamental problem of good and evil has evoked much careful thought in all religious traditions. The Bible, in its magnificent appreciation of life's valleys as well as its mountain peaks, includes Job's anguished questioning of God's righteousness side by side with the confident faith of the psalmist. Like Ichabod, the prophets in their day also saw acts of injustice and oppression. But recognizing themselves and all men as God's servants, they set out to change and alter the pattern of human conduct. They perceived man, the descendant of Adam, as created in God's image, and they urged him to fulfill his better self and reshape life's challenges. Adam represents the creative faith in God's goodness and a view of the world as the arena of human fulfillment. The values we enjoy and cherish today represent the rich legacy of men in every age and land who share with us their bold and fruitful vision of a better life, grounded in faith and love of God. As we build upon their firm foundation by our own consecrated deeds, small as they may seem, we are the partners of these spiritual immortals in advancing the kingdom of God upon earth.
Thank you, Rabbi Wiener. Our eternal eye drama today, The Man Who Hated God, was written by Martin Wishengrad and was adapted from the story by Winifred Holtby from the volume Truth Is Not Sober, published by the Macmillan Company, New York. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega, Mandel Kramer, Guy Repp, Robert Hastings, James Jukas, Ralph Camargo, Ethel Everett, Joseph Bell, and Alfred Shirley. Your narrator was Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. Our director was Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.